The following program is a commentary program. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of Dale Jackson, his guests, and callers. They do not represent the views of Cumulus Broadcasting, its management, or this station. It's live. It's local. It's the Dale Jackson Show on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN Online at WVNN.com, and on your smartphone on iHeartRadio.
News Talk 770 AM and 92.5 FM, WVNN News Time 607. Here on your Thursday morning, I'm Dale Jackson. The phone number is 1-866-494-WVNN, 1-866-494-9866. Dr. Jess Brown will join us at 8 o'clock. Congressman Mo Brooks, 7:30 this morning. We'll have both those folks on, and we'll talk to them about some stuff going on. But before we do that, I found a story that is truly, truly, truly outrageous. It is a story that is just shocking. And I haven't seen anyone defending this guy except on my Facebook page. I haven't seen any news coverage of this story where the guy gets a defense. I haven't seen anybody arguing in favor of this guy's position, again, except on my Facebook page. Which I don't know what that says about me, but this is an awful story. This is an awful story of a guy doing something that is absolutely horrendous. Yet I see people on my Facebook page telling me that this guy is somehow in the right. In Minnesota, the jurors heard chilling audio of a killing Tuesday made by the shooter himself. See, this guy, Byron Smith, was hiding in his house on Thanksgiving Day 2012. He's 65 years old. He was hiding in a basement. Inside the basement, he had some water and some energy bars or granola bars or whatever. And he's down there hiding, waiting for people because his house has been broken into. I don't see anything wrong with anything he's doing yet. I did this when I was younger. There were some bikes getting stolen in the neighborhood, and I hid and waited for some people to come. They never came, but I waited. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and they never came. Here's what he did, though. He killed 17-year-old Nick Brady and 18-year-old Haley Kiefer after the teenagers broke into his Little Falls home. He says he was frightened, hiding in the basement on edge after earlier break-ins. He feared the two were armed, which they were not. I don't think any of that matters in this story, and you'll soon find out why. He records the basement. He records the audio himself, part of his security system he has. It begins with the sound of glass shattering, followed by footsteps on the floor above. Then there are two gunshots. He shoots the kid as he opens the door to come down into his basement. I think that's completely justified. Anyone disagree? Okay, I think that's completely justified. Two gunshots, Brady falls down the basement stairs. And that's 17-year-old Nick Brady. And Byron Smith says to him, "You're dead." Prosecutors allege that he shot the teen a third time in the face and told investigators, quote, "I want him dead." Now we're in an area where the guy is a little past what I believe he's able to do, a little past defending himself, and now he is murdering somebody. But that's not the end. Immediately after the first shooting, the rustling of the tarp is heard, and then a dragging sound, labored breathing. Smith said he had moved the boy's body to a workshop in the basement to keep his blood from staining the carpet. The audio continues with the sound of a gun being reloaded. About 11 minutes pass before another shooting takes place in the house. Kiefer's footsteps, Haley Kiefer, 18 years old, are heard on the stairs. She calls out quietly, "Nick. Nick, damn it, where are you?" I assume that's kind of what she said, but just as she said, "Nick. Nick." Then comes the sound of more shots. She falls down the stairs. As she screams, he says, Byron Smith says, "Sorry about that." I mean, this guy sounds crazy, right? Can we just be clear? This is his audio. He sounds like a lunatic. "Oh, sorry about that." She screams, "Oh my God." Then there are more shots. Smith tells her, "You're dying," and calls her a bitch. After more labored breathing and another dragging sound, Smith calls her a bitch again. Like, I don't know why that's a big deal. She was breaking into her house. I mean, by definition, I would probably argue this girl is a bitch. I mean, there you go. He told authorities that after he moved her, he noticed she was still gasping and didn't want her to suffer. So he placed his .22 caliber handgun underneath her chin and pulled the trigger. So here's a guy who was defending his house. He shoots two intruders. I don't think any of us disagree with that, right? I don't think any of us disagree that defending yourself in that situation is probably completely okay, right? I mean, I don't see any gray area here where this guy is the bad guy. At that point, he has defended himself. These people broke into his house, and for all I'm concerned, he could have shot them when they walked in, and had he killed them, he probably would have been completely justified. However, shooting one of the guys in the face while he lays on a tarp downstairs in his basement, shooting a girl under the chin and blowing her brains out as she lies gasping for air, and then referring to the shot, as he talked to the investigators as, quote, "a good, clean, finishing shot." This guy's a psychopath, right? I mean, can we all agree this guy is a psychopath? He added, "She gave out a death twitch." The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension investigators on Tuesday detailed the evidence, including photos of the bodies. Brady laid tangled in a camouflage tarp. Kiefer laid with her bloody midriff exposed, knees bent, and a black hoodie tied around her face. Keep in mind, I'm not defending what the girl and the guy were doing. They were breaking into this kid's house. They were probably trying to victimize this individual, maybe because he was an older man. And look, they're criminals. And simple fact of the matter is, they chose the wrong person to rob. So what should happen to this guy? I think you lock this guy up and throw away the keys. He's a psychopath, right? I mean, there is no defense of this. There is no defense of this. This is not stand your ground, right? This is murder. For all the gun rights and gun activists we talk about, this wasn't heat of the moment. This wasn't any of this stuff. We acknowledge this is murder, right? He was initially charged with second-degree murder. The first-degree murder indictment came last year after a grand jury spent 2 days reviewing the evidence. If convicted of first-degree murder, he could face life in prison. He ended up hiding in the basement, so he says, before calling a neighbor the next day because he was afraid of an accomplice, like another individual that might come back. Think about it. Is this guy, he's not George Zimmerman, a heat-of-the-moment situation. And I know a lot of people won't like that analogy because they think, George Zimmerman should be in jail too. No, this is a guy who went out and murdered two people in cold blood. And the only place I've been able to find people defending him, I'm wondering if there are any out there in this audience. The only place I can find people defending them are on my Facebook page. And I'll share with you some of the insane things that were written there. Stay tuned. If you think this guy did the right thing, I'd love to hear it. 1-866-494-WVNN. 1-866-494-9866. It's the Dale Jackson Show, live and local, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. News Time, 6:24 here on your Thursday morning. I'm Dale Jackson. The phone number is 1-866-494-WVNN, 1-866-494-9866. Talking about this self-defense case, the guy's claiming self-defense. Good luck, buddy. Good luck. He executed two teens who were breaking into his house. He shot them. They fell down the stairs. And then he executed both of them. The comments that I'm reading on some of my Facebook page, on some of the Facebook comments on my page, are kind of telling or troubling. I guess would be the better way to say it. "Quote: I don't get it. People break into my house. I shoot the intruders, and my actions are being questioned. Let's say I'm a little crazy. Maybe you should have thought about that before breaking into my house. When did this become my problem?" Another poster writes, "Should it be illegal to enjoy yourself to the fullest while defending yourself and your home? Should it be illegal to defend yourself to the fullest or to enjoy yourself while you're defending yourself?" You know, that is a interesting perspective to take, that this guy is not the bad guy here. I mean, this guy clear, right? I mean, there's no defense of this guy, right? I mean, we can all agree that this guy is a quasi-monster, at least. I don't understand how you could even remotely defend this behavior. And I'm all about defending yourself. I'm all about the opportunity to defend yourself. I'm all about giving yourself the opportunity to make sure that your home and your well-being and your family and all that jazz is protected. But we have crossed the line on this one. And again, like I said, there aren't many people out there defending this guy, just people apparently on my Facebook page defending this guy and saying, "Hey, this guy was just defending himself. He should be able to do whatever he needs to do."
Seems your Facebook friends have a lot of bloodthirst.
Well, these are WVNN Facebook people. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's bloodlust. I don't know what it is. It just, it's something that I can't comprehend. I mean, the guy clearly seems like he was out of control. And again, up until the part where he shoots them and executes them and finishes them off, I don't have much of a problem with it. And you know what? I could even argue, you know, if I wanted to, I could even argue that the first guy he killed, even though this would be impossible to make this argument legitimately, but if I wanted to just have an exercise here, I could legitimately argue his first shooting of the guy, knowing that there were more people in the house, might be justified because he was worried about him running around. But, I mean, shooting the guy in the face while he's laying on a tarp, I mean, you might be able to argue that's justified, but you'd have a hard time. The second shooting of the girl, blowing her head off, yeah, you're going to have an even harder time defending that one. This isn't self-defense. This is murder. Sparky Harvest, you're up on the Dale Jackson Show, First Family Mortgage, 1FMC.com, talk back line. What's going on?
Hey, man, just driving to work. This guy clearly stepped over the line. If he was defending his home and shot him and they're flopping around injured, whatever, you call the cops and the story's over. But it's like the guy is driving his car lawfully, gets into a car crash, pulls all over on the side of the road, he's nervous, and he decides to calm his nerves by drinking a bottle of bourbon. You know, what do you think is going to happen when the cops show up?
Yeah, no, that's exactly
you're going to get arrested for DUI. This guy murdered these people.
That's a great point. I appreciate your call. I think a better way to say this might be, it's like this guy driving down the road, getting in a car accident, Or how about this? Or being ran off the road by another car, then correcting his vehicle and running the guy over who ran him off the road. That may be a more apt analogy if we want to use it here. It's crazy talk. I mean, I don't see how you could take someone's life like this and not be considered a cold-blooded murderer. So both of the guys fell down the both of them fell down the stairs and were laying at the bottom of the stairs. He drug them into another area, at which point he committed a kill shot. This guy's going to jail, and rightfully so. This is not self-defense. You know, we talk a lot about self-defense, and we talk a lot about people who find themselves getting in trouble. And this guy, he's going to jail. Joseph Farlow, 71, on Twitter. You sit behind your mic and agree that Smith should have defended his home, then complain by which he defended it. No, I'm complaining with the fact that he executed two people he had already shot lawfully. This guy's going to jail, and as he should. This isn't self-defense, folks. This is murder. There is a difference. Stay tuned. Live local WVNN.
President Obama being welcomed to the Imperial Palace in Tokyo today. A news conference, he accused Russia of not living up to its commitment, warned Moscow the U.S. has another round of sanctions teed up in connection with the crisis in Ukraine. Afghanistan, an Afghan security guard opened fire on doctors, killing three of them, all the victims Americans. The ferry disaster, investigators say it may have been carrying a lot more cargo than it was supposed to be carrying. FDA wants to start regulating electronic cigarettes, just like real cigarettes, would ban those e-cigarettes for anybody under age 18. Would also require manufacturers to list the ingredients.
Until we can actually require the companies to give us information about what's in them and how they work, we can't get everything that we need to know.
That's the commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. In Chicago, a life-size statue of esteemed movie critic Roger Ebert to be unveiled today, died last year of cancer. Doug Limerick, ABC News.
It's live, it's local, it's the Dale Jackson Show on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN online at WVNN.com, and on your smartphone on iHeartRadio.
News Talk 770 AM and 92.5 FM WVNN News Time 6:37 here on your Thursday morning. Georgia giving us a preview of what we're going to see in Alabama next year. Maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. Governor Nathan Deal signed legislation today that would vastly expand where Georgians can legally carry firearms. A proposal that has drawn heaps of praise and scorn from outside groups. People who follow the rules. People who follow the rules can protect themselves and their families from people who don't follow the rules. The Second Amendment should never be an afterthought. It should reside in the forefronts of our mind. House Bill 60, that was from the governor, House Bill 60, which passed in the final hours of this year's legislative session, allows Georgians to legally carry firearms in a wide range of new places. Are you ready for these new places? Schools, bars, churches, and government buildings. A recent analysis also said it could let felons use the Stand Your Ground rules to claim self-defense if they feel threatened. Why shouldn't they be able to? Can someone explain that to me? Felons could use the state Stand Your Ground legislation to claim self-defense if they feel threatened and kill somebody in Georgia. What? Am I supposed to be bothered by that? Okay. In an interview this week, Deal said voters shouldn't forget what got left out of the bill. Among the controversial proposals that didn't survive were the campus carry provision, which have legalized the carrying of guns on campus, and changes that would have required houses of worship to allow guns unless leaders banned them. Instead, religious leaders can opt in to allow guns into their congregation. You know, the campus stuff bothers me because, again, I'll mention this. This Cho guy out of Virginia Tech, do you remember? He killed like 33 people. None of the statistics sitting in front of me. But he killed like 33 people, and of those, like two-thirds of them were shot at like point-blank range as they cowered. Some lined up on the chalkboard and were shot one by one by one. Okay, so I don't understand why we won't let adults who are legally able to carry guns around other adults. That I don't understand. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? Somebody kill 33 people in a college? As for the religious leaders opting in and out, I'm okay with that. I think that's completely reasonable. It's their house. Just like you have a business, you should be able to say no, yay, nay, you can or cannot bring your firearm in here. Now, here's the interesting part. There are some government buildings. You can now bring a gun in. Critics have dubbed this the Guns Everywhere bill for its broad scope. The opponents, including former Representative Gabby Giffords, have tried to block its passage, which must be pretty hard seeing how she's a former congressman that lives in Arizona, but okay. I'm sure she tried to block its passage. Maybe she should have filed a procedural something that she could have done. I don't know. Supporters have flooded Deal's office with pleas to sign the measure, which the National Rifle Association called the most comprehensive pro-gun reform bill in state history. There was never any doubt that he would sign it, though. The powerful gun rights lobby has made it their top priority, and Deal doesn't want to give his two GOP primary challengers any opening. Even Democratic State Senator Jason Carter, we all know Jason Carter, right, of his from Confederate flag fame, saying that this is a non-issue for Georgians. This issue's been decided. People want to have the Confederate flag. We're fine with it. We'll allow that issue to be fought on the national stage. We're not going to discuss Confederate flags in his campaign, which I think is a pretty good argument. I'm for it. Let's knock it off. Who cares? But even Jason Carter, his party's nominee for governor, voted for the bill. Echoing Deal, Carter told MSNBC this week that he believed it, quote, helped make the bill better than when it first started. He tried to downplay the warnings. Deal did, from critics who said the law would endanger police officers and lead to more violence. He said the following. The important premise we all should remember is these are people who have their fingerprints taken, their backgrounds checked, and they have been licensed to carry a weapon. It's not just someone walking out of the clear blue with none of those background checks. They've been subjected to the scrutiny of the state. Here are some other things it does. It legalizes the use of silencers for hunting. I didn't know that was a thing, but okay. It clears the way. And by that, I mean, I didn't know that was something people wanted, but I guess it makes complete sense. If you're out hunting, you don't want to scare away your prey, so silencing it as much as you can. And this isn't a movie where it sounds like a pew, 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 pew. That's not how it works. It clears the way for school staffers to carry guns in school zones and lets leaders of religious congregations choose whether to allow licensed guns inside their congregation. It allows permitted gun owners to carry weapons into government buildings, including parts of courthouses where there is no security at the entrance. Now, this is where I think a lot of people diverge on this issue. If I walk into the State House down in Montgomery, there are security guards. Should I be able to take a gun in there? If I'm a legislator, I can. Now, just think about this for a second. If I am a legislator, I can carry a gun into the State House because guess what? I think you're allowed, first off. Second off, they don't go through the screening process. They just walk on by. Sort of the same thing in D.C. It's exactly the same thing. They don't stop them. They don't stop them. They just let them walk right on by. Should that be? I don't know. They say including parts of the courthouse. What parts? Where there's no security at the entrance? I don't know. Madison County Courthouse, I can just tell you where the one that I've been to recently. They walk right in. You can walk right in. You walk right in, right, and there is a security guard that meets you right at the gates. To some group, though, even words of deal, impending signature wasn't enough. Georgia gun owners, one of the more strident Second Amendment groups, told members on Facebook they shouldn't feel obligated to attend the signing ceremony with Deal and House Speaker David Ralston. They said the duo's ethically challenged big government moderate Republicans. Okay, I don't know what you could, what more do you want them to do? I mean, is this not the gun lover's wet dream? Right? I mean, this is the gun lover's wet dream. It's everything you could, what more could you possibly want? What in the world could you, what does this group possibly want? How far are we going to go on this gun issue? And a lot of you will say, well, there should be no, absolutely no restrictions on gun laws. And I don't know if that's necessarily true. We are allowed in some way, shape, or form to decide what we want to do. But in this case, I mean, how much further can they possibly go before we just say guns are allowed every single place you want to take them? Want to take them into schools? Go right ahead. You want to take them into government buildings? Fine. You want to take them into court? Awesome. You want to take them on airplanes? Great. I mean, is that what we want? I mean, is that the next step? Because eventually this has to stop. There, I mean, the gun, you know, this is sort of like the gay rights people. The gun rights folks win at almost every single turn. They win. And here you have a gun group saying, oh, well, here we go. This is just another, what do they say? Gun owners should be congratulated for your enormous pressure put on the General Assembly, but shouldn't feel pressure to serve as a political prop for two lifetime politicians looking for cover. And then refer to them as ethically challenged big government moderate Republicans. So I don't know how much more you could possibly, what else could you possibly want? What other things could you possibly want? This allows the carrying in government buildings, some schools, bars, churches. What more could you possibly want? Is there more to this? Is there another gun part, a gun law that could possibly pass to make you feel better? I guess the campus carry, that's one thing that I think bothers me, really. The campus carry is one that really bothers me because we watched 33 kids get executed. Okay, we allowed 33 kids to get executed, and then we didn't do anything about it. And by the, when I say we didn't do anything about it, what I'm saying is we didn't allow the kids who wanted to arm themselves. Governor Nathan Deal said he was opposed to a late change in the House that would legalize the carry of guns on college campuses in the final hours of the 2014 legislative session. He said he indicated all along that I prefer campus carry not be in any legislation, although his staff has been quietly hashing out a compromise during dueling House and Senate bills that would loosen gun restrictions. The latest House push would allow permit holders to carry guns onto college campuses, but not into dorms and athletic events. The bill would also allow churches to decide whether to allow weapons inside, likely a nod to the Senate. Quote, I don't know what the final legislation will look like. I think there's a fairly general consensus that campus carry will not be part of any legislation. So other than that, that's the last, really, seems like the last refuge for the gun rights crowd that you guys, one more thing you could possibly want. That's it. But I've been surprised before. Maybe we'll be back discussing even more issues as we go forward. 1-866-494-WVNN. 1-866-494-WVNN. Keep your radio locked right here. We'll be back. It's live. It's local. It's News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. News time. It is 6:53. Here on your Thursday morning. Emailers about the first story we talked about today, the issue of the murder that essentially took place in Minnesota. A guy shoots some intruders, proceeds to execute both of them. A self-defense would help him get off from just shooting them. I assume murdering them will hurt him in the long run, as it probably should. But the emailers seem to be siding with the mob. This is, guys, we don't live in a society where you can just murder people. willy-nilly. I mean, and no one is arguing in defense of the people breaking into his house. But I kind of wonder about the people who think that once you commit a crime, you're dead. And that makes no sense. Because if that was the case, we could have people standing on the side of the road shooting speeders. I mean, if you could shoot someone going 70 miles an hour down to 50, maybe you should be able to. And then we'd have news stories about, hey, the guy was going 55 miles an hour, so there you go. And we'll just go ahead and we'll put him, sorry, shot him in the head. He was speeding after all, breaking the law, got to pay. And oddly enough, this is not that much of a stretch on how people are reacting to this. I thought, because I'd been reading about this, that a majority of people, and maybe it was just the sources I was reading, believed that the guy's angle on this was completely nuts. He was a cold-blooded murderer, because that's how he comes off. He comes off as a cold-blooded murderer. Shooting people right in the head or under the chin, in the face, because they broke into your house. I don't think that, there's no justification for that. I mean, there really is no justification for shooting somebody right in the face because they dared to break into your house. I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy. And let's just go to the one more crazy gun story. You want to hear it? Here it is. Jason Marks posted this on his Facebook. This is the craziest gun story, I guess, of the day, which is pretty interesting considering the two we've talked about already. A loaded gun was found in a woman's body. A woman arrested on driver's license offenses now faces felony charges, with Kingsport police saying she introduced into the jail an atypical type of contraband. A stolen and loaded .22 caliber mini revolver via a body orifice. According to the incident report at the Kingsport Police Department, the discovery was made as jailers processed Dallas J. Archer into the facility on Monday afternoon. Archer had earlier been stopped by a patrol officer on Skyland Lane after her mother claimed to have been assaulted and named Archer's Chrysler as the suspect's vehicle. During that stop, Archer, address listed as unknown, was found alone in the car. A police report states a check of her driver's license revealed that her license was suspended for failing to satisfy multiple citations. She was then arrested for driving on a suspended license and transported to jail. During the booking process, a female corrections officer reportedly detected, quote, an unknown item in, where was it? Archer's crotch. Now, that jailer and a female patrol officer then accompanied Archer to a restroom and recovered a North American Arms .22 revolver loaded. Now, I didn't know if the safety was on or not, but it was loaded and it was concealed inside her vagina. The weapon was checked into the National Crime Information Database, coming back as stolen during a 2013 auto burglary. Do you think she said, it's not mine? I don't know how that got there. It's just like people do when they have when they find guns in their car. Oh, I have absolutely no idea how it got there. There is no, that's not mine.
No, that's not the question I have.
Put some fingerprints. Are there any fingerprints? Fingerprints on it?
My question is, has she done porn before? Because with a name like Dallas Archer. The ability to store a gun in your vagina, she has had to do porn before somewhere. We haven't figured it out.
What a disgusting person. That is absolutely disgusting. And again, I don't know enough about this to comment, but I will anyway. They say it's a stolen gun. And they say that, you know, obviously it was found inside her. I just need to know, who are there fingerprints on it? That will tell you who has come in contact with that gun most recently, if there, and who put it there. If her fingerprints are not on this gun, then maybe it's not her fault that it was there. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just keeping that out there for you and asking. So were there fingerprints on this gun. Okay. That is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Let us never, ever, ever, ever discuss said thing again. I promise. Now, something non-gun related coming up next. Congressman Mo Brooks, 7:30. Dr. Jess Brown, 8 o'clock. It's the Dale Jackson Show, live and local. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it.